We read in the gospel reading today these words, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." What is the nature of righteousness? Righteousness is a word that we don't use very often anymore. We tend to use it only around church circles. If you were to walk outside and speak to people and say, "Are you a righteous person?" I imagine that they would look at you very strangely. But righteousness is central to our understanding of what it means to be a Christian, and central to our understanding of what it means to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this picture, if you will, this morning in the gospel reading, this picture of Jesus coming to John. Now, we know two things. In the church calendar, this baptism of Jesus comes after the infancy narratives, after the birth of Jesus and, the call of Mary, of course, the birth of Jesus, and then we have the coming of the Magi, and then we enter, if you will, into the next block of seasons, the Epiphany, where we discuss the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it begins with this baptism. And so Jesus, we have this picture in Matthew, comes to the River Jordan. Now, it's important to note that John didn't just baptize anyone. He was very particular in who he baptized, and many people he turned away. And so he did so because he wanted people to realize that in being baptized, they were being baptized into an understanding of God's presence. And so Jesus comes on this day, and John looks at him and says, "Well, you know, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." Now, how did John know that? Well, we can only conjecture that somehow he felt the presence in Jesus of someone who was very special. He may not have known precisely what that meant. And so he says, "You know, it should really be you." And then Jesus, of course, says to him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Now, understanding what Jesus is meaning in that passage, there's no full understanding, but we do know what comes after that is what we call the theophany, that is the showing forth of the power of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, if you will, in that scene. "This is my beloved Son." So the voice of God the Father, we have the Son being baptized, and we have the Holy Spirit coming over this whole event. That is important. It's important, first of all, to the understanding of the Hebrew Scriptures, but it's important also because this moment is, in a sense, one of the central points of our Christian faith, that Jesus is beginning his ministry with baptism, which is exactly what we do. We begin our ministries with baptism. But more than that, we see in this passage echoes, if you will, of the Old Testament reading. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." And then further on, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people and a light to the nations." And then he goes afterwards and talks about the merciful acts that such a people or a person would do to open the eyes of the blind and to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon and those who sit in darkness. So righteousness, if you will, is tied in the Old Testament to acts, acts of justice, acts of kindness, acts of in a sense, living a certain way that indicates clearly who we are and what kind of relationship we have with God. Now, Paul understood this. Paul understood this so well that he wrote about righteousness in many of his letters. In 2 Corinthians, for instance, he says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, Paul was speaking specifically, if you will, about this passage that we're reading, about this coming to John to be baptized. "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And in Galatians, Paul says, "For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." We eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Now, I want to speak to you about that, because that is really the point of what I'm trying to speak about today. With everything that is happening in the world today, it is not surprising that we should have doubts and fears about our incapacity to even begin to deal with the horrors that are beginning to surround us. Whether we look at the horrors on the political front, or whether we look at the horrors on the natural front in climate change, we are compassed about by all kinds of problems. Problems that, by and large, we don't talk a lot about between ourselves, because we don't know what to say other than, "Isn't it awful that these things are happening?" But you see, these things are happening. And the whole need for righteousness in the face of all of this is important. It is why we are here, in fact, that God has called us, each one of us, to be righteous people. And as righteous people, we must take up the ministry that God has challenged us with. But you might well say, "Well, I don't understand many of these things. I don't feel I have the strength or the power to be able to address them. I don't know really what to do." The scriptures today say, have faith. Because in a sense, righteousness is based upon faith. The things that we do and say, the way we live, what we attend to, the values that we have, all these things spring from our faith in Jesus Christ. And you, my brothers and sisters, must have faith at this time of crisis. As we move further into more crises, we need to have faith. And it is normal that you might think, "Oh God, what can I do?" But we have the strength. The strength is found in the fundamentals, in Jesus, our Lord, our friend, our mentor, the one who knows us through and through and who leads us into the future. I was thinking of a poem I saw a couple of months ago. And I'm going to read that to you. It's called "The Oak Tree." A mighty wind blew night and day. It stole the oak tree's leaves away, then snapped its boughs and pulled its bark until the oak was tired and stark. But still the oak tree held its ground while other trees fell all around. The weary wind gave up and spoke, "How can you still be standing, oak?" The oak tree said, I know that you can break each branch of mine in two, carry every leaf away, shake my limbs and make me sway. But I have roots stretched in the earth, growing stronger since my birth. You'll never touch them, for you see they are the deepest part of me. Until today, I wasn't sure of just how much I could endure. But now I found, with thanks to you, I'm stronger than I ever knew. My dear friends, we are stronger than we know. And the strength that we have is based upon our faith in Jesus Christ. In the days that lie ahead, we continue to pray, and we continue to read the scriptures, and we continue to ask God to bless us with God's presence, that we might do the things that will make this world into a better place for all. Amen.